Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. It's verse 2, okay. It's actually verses 2 to 7. It's a whole lot of verses here. But we are just going to do the first one. Verse 2. Brahma Varchasa Kamas Tu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamas Tu Praja Kama Prajapatim. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamastu Prajakama Prajapatim. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamastu Prajakama Prajapatim. Brahma Varchasa Kamastu Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriya Kamastu Prajakama Prajapatim. Well, there's six verses here. I guess let's just focus on this one. I'll do the word for word and translation for this one, and then I'll go through the others. Brahma, the absolute, Varchasa, effulgence, Kamato, but one who desires in that way. Yajeta, do worship. Brahmana, of the Vedas. Patim, the master. Indram, the king of heaven. Indriya Kamato. But one who desires strong sense organs. Prajakama. One who desires many offspring. Prajapatin. The Prajapatis. Okay, so let's just read the translation for that. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma or Brihaspati, the learned priest. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra. And one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. Yes. Okay, so let's read the other verses. Devi Mayam to Sri Kamas, Tejas kamo vibhavasum, vasu kamo vasun rudran, virya kamo tavirya-van, anadya kamas twaditim, swarga kamo dite sutan, vishvan devan raja kama, sadyam samsadako visham, ayush kamo shwino devo, pushti kama ilam yajet, pratishta kama purusho, rodasi lokamata rao, rupa bi kamo gandharvan, stri kamo psara urvashim, adipatya kama sarvesham, yajeta parameshtinam, yagyam yajed, yashas kama, kosha kama, prachetasam, vidya kamas tu girisham, dampatyarta umam satim. You may have noticed the frequent appearance of the word karma in different forms, meaning desire. In the verse on the board, it's there, what now, three times. In other words, these six verses are all about how to fulfill different desires. So, I'll just read the rest of the translation. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire. And one who aspires only after money should worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grains should worship Aditi. One who desires to attain the heavenly planets should worship the sons of Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship Vishvadeva. And one who wants to be popular with the general mass of population should worship the Sadhya demigod. One who desires a long span of life should worship the demigods known as the Ashvini Kumars. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stability in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the beautiful residents of the Gandharva planet. And one who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Aurvashi society girls of the heavenly kingdom. One who desires domination over others should worship Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. And if one desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Okay. What would you like? Any requests? So, Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul living within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod, as mentioned above. Ravana was made a very powerful man by worshipping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to please Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Lord Shiva that all the demigods were afraid of him, until he at last challenged the personality of God Sri Ramachandra and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 20. It is said there that those who are bereft of all good sense, or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of Maya, aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods, or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. The real problem of life in the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age, and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid. And no one wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace of any demigod, nor by the so-called advancement of material science. In the Bhagavad Gita as well as in Srimad Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. I wonder if someone could just pass me a Bhagavad Gita. Okay, devoid of all good sense. Shukadeva Goswami said that out of the 8,400,000 species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of the material problems are rarer still. And the still more rare persons are those who are conscious of the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains the messages of the Lord and his pure devotees. Death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by the Goswami as the Manishi, or the man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death, he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person, Shukadeva Goswami. But aspirations for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are something like the intoxication of the degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life by returning home back to Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastuchyade Shitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanuja Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasani Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Hare Krishna. So, people on the material platform have many desires. Some of them have so many desires, it's just they become bewildered by having so many desires. They They just don't know what to pursue. And they may become sort of partially paralyzed in a sense, not knowing which way to turn. In fact, you know, there are different definitions of what is madness, according to Vedic literatures. One is that madness means, what is the state of madness? It means the intelligence has become so weak that it can no longer control the mind at all. And so the mind just is zipping off here and there, just zipping off again and again without stopping. And thus the person becomes deluded. And, you know, having said that, Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's a famous lecture, Srila Prabhupada's, which he titled, Who is Crazy? And the purport of it was, everybody is crazy. Because some are crazy, like in the sense we just mentioned, that they're literally overwhelmed by the mind permanently. And therefore they're just spinning from one thing to another. But having said that, generally people on the material platform are still controlled by their minds to a significant degree. The intelligence is not capable of controlling the mind completely and just directing the mind always. Sometimes, but not always. And therefore sometimes, generally people on the material platform, sometimes their minds get the better of them and they succumb or become, you know, seriously affected by things like depression. What is depression? It, in a sense, it just means that you are seeing so many bad things around you, which may be true even, but you are not... You're seeing it so much, so vividly, and just so, sort of so constantly, that your intelligence is not able to assert itself and say, come on, pull yourself together. Don't focus like that. Let me tell you a little experience I had here in 1994. During the Christmas marathon, 1984, during the Christmas marathon, with a devotee named Ramanujacharya Prabhu, who's still living in the temple in Durban, we were doing a sort of an exhibition in the Golden Acre. I assume the Golden Acre is still there. Yeah, to raise funds for building the temple in Durban. And we were there like for 6 weeks, at least 6 days a week for about 6 weeks. And they gave us a spot, and we were there. We had our little setup. One day they moved us for some reason. Next to, I think it was called Musica, the music store. I don't know if it's still there, but anyway, next to the music store. And that day, for some reason, whoever was in charge, you know, they play music to attract people to come into the shop. So for some reason, whoever was in charge of choosing what to play chose one song for the whole day, beginning to end. No, we were there by maybe 8:30 or 9 or something. And that one song played till we left, which was, I don't know, 5:30 or whatever, something along those lines. The whole time. And what was that song? Stevie Wonder, I Just Called to Say I Love You. And I must confess to having never been a Stevie Wonder fan. back even in those days, before my attempt to become Krishna conscious, I wasn't really impressed. But they played this the whole day without stop. And then we were staying out somewhere here in the Rondebosch type of area, and we would just go by train. So we came back by train. And there we're chanting japa in the train. And suddenly I noticed popping into my head out of nowhere, I just called to say I love you. And I thought, oh no, what is this? I must chant. Okay, so back into the chanting. After a minute or two, I just called to say. And I must admit, it was a bit of a battle for part of the trip to come on, focus your mind, will you? Because I didn't even like it. I didn't even like it. But attachment, you know, it's like a mechanical process. You get exposed to something long enough, and whether you like it or not, you become attached. Your mind. So it took a little while for my, you know, intelligence or what, you know, ever amount of intelligence I had to assert itself sufficiently to actually kick Stevie Wonder out of my mind, hopefully never to return. Seriously. And it was just a very interesting experience. So yeah, Prabhupada gave that class and titled it, Who is Crazy? Because some people were accusing devotees of being crazy. You know, dancing around in the street, that sort of thing. But Prabhupada, yeah, who is crazy? And if we take this one definition we just mentioned of madness, that the intelligence loses its ability to assert itself and direct the mind completely. And it cannot do it at all, at any time, what to speak of all the time, then that's madness. And they just, you know, anyway, I imagine you've seen unfortunate people like that. So like that, people in material life, to some degree they control their minds, your average person. To some degree their intelligence can assert itself over the mind, but not always. Sometimes their minds get the better of them. And like we mentioned, they become depressed. You know, even I've had a few experiences with devotees who became depressed, even in a sort of clinical sense. They actually became overwhelmed by that state, despite being devotees and having so much information and association at hand. Yes, so, you know, because particularly devotees, of course we know this material world is bad. And it's well worth becoming depressed about, actually. In fact, you could say if someone in material life is not depressed, there's something wrong with them. Something like that. Anyway, I don't know if you got that. Yeah, because material life is just one down to another down, and there's no end until you die, and then you generally really go down. So that's a type of definition of insanity, that the intelligence has lost control of the mind to such a point that it's more or less complete. And the mind is just uncontrollably just going as it feels and as the senses dictate and as impressions from the past pop up again, the mind's just going. Of course, Albert Einstein is said to have given a somewhat different but also quite good definition of insanity. That insanity means to think that if I carry on doing the same things, I may get a different result. In other words, someone is struggling in life and they want to make their life better in some way or other, and they decide to just carry on doing the same things they've been doing. But they're thinking or hoping that better results will come. It's a little subtle, but it's a fairly good type of definition of insanity. On another level, insanity means to think you are someone you are not. Yes. You know, this is sort of an aspect, or one type at least, of classic schizophrenia. Classic schizophrenia means split personality. You know, when I was young, when I was a teenager, there was the whole pop music explosion and the hippie thing, and taking of a lot of drugs, really a lot. Some people were just living on drugs. And, you know, these sort of, what do they call them? Psychotropic drugs. If you're not careful, they destabilize the mental and intellectual functions, and then people become crazy. And in those days there were many songs and a lot of talk about going crazy. And there was one for a few months or some little time popular fellow. He didn't sing, he actually spoke. Yeah, maybe he was the original rap person. And if I remember correctly, he was called Napoleon, no, like Napoleon the Fourth or Napoleon the Third or something, Napoleon something. And he would come onto stage dressed as Napoleon with his hand in his jacket and speak as if mad. Yeah, speak as if mad. Acting as if he's Napoleon and just talking mad talk deliberately. Yeah, in other words, acting like he's someone who he's not. He's just some young fellow from America, but he's acting like he's Napoleon. But of course he's not Napoleon. So when people enter into that sort of state, they think they're the king or the president or something like that. That's schizophrenia, and it's obviously a type of madness. But what is going on here in this material world? Consider. We are all thinking. We are these bodies, aren't we? Here we have a, let us say, early middle-aged Englishman. And we have, you know, we have white, African, different versions of Indian, mixtures, male, female. We have all these identities just sitting right here in this room with us right now. But actually, our Shyamananda Krishna Prabhu, or any of us, let us take Mataji Prema Leela. There she is, Gujarati lady. You never know. Sooner or later we'll find out. She may be a cowherd boy from Vrindavan. Seriously, I mean completely seriously. She may actually be. Yeah. And who knows? Someone here may be a cow. We may have a cow or two in the room with us. In fact, eternal persons. One devotee said to Prabhupada once, trying to sort of feign humility or, you know, express a humble sort of mood, said, Srila Prabhupada, oh, I'm so useless. When I go back to Godhead, I'll probably just be a blade of grass. In other words, you know, useless. Prabhupada's response was, you would be so fortunate. Blade of grass in Goloka Vrindavan is way higher than being even king of the planet Earth. Yeah. And way more developed, even in an intellectual, like a conscious sense, than Einstein or some other big brain. Yeah. But here we are sitting, and who can say they don't still have the tendency sometimes to think, you know, I am a white man, I am old, or I am young, I am Indian, African, etc., etc. Who, even sitting here as devotees, can say, I never think of myself in those terms. Old habits die hard. Yeah. And this, dear devotees, highly respected, yes, and very dear, I hate to say it, this is insanity. It's definitely insanity. It's definitely very serious insanity. That you really think you are someone and you live like you're someone and just dedicate and focus your life as if you're someone, but you're not that person at all. You're just, you've got nothing to do with that person. Anyway, so who is crazy? Good question. Yeah. And even us, it takes some time to get out of that, the hangover sort of being absorbed in that crazy state of just identifying with the body. I am a man, you are a woman, and, you know, I am white, and you are African, and therefore we have certain interests which are important to us. It's fictitious. It's just fiction. It's complete fiction. And Krishna consciousness means to recognize this and to accept it and try to cultivate the actual fact. Which, of course, at this point, none of us know, I think. Anyway, I don't know who I am. Up there. I don't know. So none of us know exactly in that sense specifically who I am. But what we do know is that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. In whatever capacity, in whatever type of form it may be, that's another thing. That'll come in due course when I'm ready. But at least what I am in the general sense, Jivera Swarupoya, Krishnera Nityadas, Krishnera Tatasta Shakti, Baid Abaid Prakash. Lord Chaitanya spoke that. the constitutional nature of the soul, the jiva, is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Yes, because we are marginal potency, simultaneously bathed, abhaved, prakash, simultaneously different from and not different from Krishna. So at least at this stage, we should definitely not concern ourselves with what type of devotee am I in the spiritual world. Am I a gopi, cowherd boy, parental type, friend, servant, whatever, male, female, species? We shouldn't concern ourselves about those things. But what we must, it's just such an important thing, so foundational. We must really try to accept this, the basic idea. Who am I? I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. In whatever, you know, capacity, that's another thing. But at this point, by Krishna's mercy, he has arranged for me to get the opportunity to cultivate and develop and ultimately perfect my relationship with him. But at least now, let's sort of get the basic hang of it. The basic hang of it is that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and I am not the body with its nature and the desires of my body and my conditioned mind are not, well, they're not natural to me. I may have somehow accepted them for the time being, but they're not natural to me. So therefore let me think, conceive of myself as being the eternal servant of Krishna, think in those terms, and act in those terms. That's at least the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So, let's see. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada begins the purport, or at least in the earlier stage of the purport. Prabhupada says that so many of these people, well, Prabhupada talks about Ravana. He worshipped Lord Shiva. It says here, you worship Lord Shiva. One should worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. That's what Ravana wanted. Become great hero, overpower everybody else, and just become the top man, controller. So he tried. He worshipped Lord Shiva, and he became very powerful. Became extremely powerful by worldly standards. But he became, because he was had this burning desire to defeat everyone, he tried to take on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Didn't work. Tried his best, but as Prabhupada says, he thus ruined himself. Destroyed. Decimated. Yeah. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material objects of enjoyment, or the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7 verse 20, which I just checked. Kamaistaistaya hristagyana prapadyantena devata tantan niyamam astaya prakritya niyata swaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. This is what's being discussed here. Shri Nidai Mayapur Chandra King. I would like to find another verse. Let's just see, where is it? Okay, here it is. Right. So, Prabhupada's talking about small intelligence. Krishna's talking about it. Intelligence stolen. That's a bad situation. They turn to demigods. And then in verse 25, where are we? No, verse 23. Antavattu palante sham tadbhavati alpamedasam devan deva yujo yanti madbhakta yanti mam api. Men of small intelligence, the Sanskrit is alpa medasam. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So alpa medasa, meaning intelligence, like Medavi Prabhu, it's from the same root, means an intelligent person, Medavi, one who has Meda, intelligence. In this case, alpa meta, alpa. You know, even now in Bengali language, not in Hindi, but in Bengali language based on Sanskrit, the word for little is alpa. And when you're being served prasadam in Mayapur, and the devotees are just coming along, sort of slopping it on, closing their eyes and just dumping a whole lot of prasadam on your plate, what you must say is, alpo, alpo, alpo. Oh, okay then. And they may give you some less. Alpa. So alpa made a son. Small intelligence. They worship the demigods. Small intelligence, why? Because they don't know who they are. How much of a lack of intelligence is it if you don't know who you are? You are you, after all. You're not someone else. You are you. But if you don't know who you are, what does it say? Well, as we said, it's kind of like madness, really. So yeah, they have small intelligence. Therefore, they identify with the body. Therefore, they think success, happiness, means to please the body, stimulate the body, satisfy the body with bodily pleasures. And where do you get those bodily pleasures from? Well, at least if they're sort of on a high enough level, from the demigods. For people who are not on that level, they think you just grab it. You just grab anything you can from this material world, somehow or other, and enjoy it. Yeah. But if people are a little more intelligent, but still they have small intelligence, they, instead of just grabbing things from the material world, they will worship demigods and get the same things exactly, but by pious means, or more pious means. So therefore here, in the purport, in this verse we're looking at just here, these verses in Bhagavad Gita, materialistic people who want to enjoy the material world, they're described as alpamedasa, small intelligence. But then devotees, listen to this, we come on to, that was 7:23, let's have a look at 7:24. Avyaktam vyaktam apanam manyante mam abudaya parambhava majananto mamavyayam anutamam. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So in the other verse we just looked at, alpamedasa, small intelligence. This verse, abhudaya, medasa, medha, intelligence. Buddha is a synonym, just means intelligence. Krishna's just chosen to use two different words which just mean exactly the same thing. So the demigod worshippers are alpamedasa, small intelligence. The impersonalists are abuddha, no intelligence. It's even worse. Yeah. It's even worse. And they're prone to do all sorts of things, of course. But one thing they're prone to do is think that Krishna either he is, just by nature, by constitution, he's not a person. But then he comes down here and he assumes the position of apparently being a person, even though he's not a person. But he kind of, you know, somehow or other, we don't know quite how it must work, but personality becomes assumed and form by, you can't even say someone, but something which is impersonal and doesn't have a form and doesn't have a personality and activities and relationships. Yes. So therefore the impersonalists, you know, generally the impersonalists, there are different types of impersonalists, but the main group, the Mayavadis, followers of Shankaracharya, they take it, their motto or slogan is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya. Brahman is truth, this world is false. Not non-existent, but just like sort of misrepresentational. Yeah, but Brahman, spirit is truth. And somehow or other, little parts of Brahman have become covered over by the mitya, the falseness of the jagat, of this world. And actually, they're just little parts of one big thing. But now they think that individuals. Do you get the idea? Yeah. But it's just a figment of the imagination, because Brahma Satyam, Brahman is truth. And Brahman, there's just one Brahman which is all-pervading. But little sort of, I don't know, it's become divided up, apparently. It hasn't actually become divided, but it appears to have become divided into little individuals. Look, we have a whole lot here. A whole lot of illusions. You don't exist. How's that? Yeah. And that's the jiva. And according to Shankaracharya, when the jiva starts to develop spiritual consciousness of Brahman starts, then the jiva starts making progress, and eventually the jiva reaches a stage called Ishvara. And this is the stage that Krishna has reached. This is what the Mayavadis say. Krishna has reached the stage of Ishvara, where his knowledge, his consciousness of Brahman, it's not actually complete, but it's very extensive. And therefore Krishna has the capacity to speak Bhagavad Gita and give all this knowledge. Because he's almost there, he's on the edge of being there. And just give him a little while, and he'll merge. Not actually merge, but realize that he is merged already. Just forgot. Anyway, I mean, we could say many things about that, but Lord Krishna calls it abhudaya, no intelligence. It's very bad, yeah. Even condemned. So, you know, you're going to, this is verses 2 to 7, when you come to verse 10, it's a classic verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a major classic verse. I will not spoil the fun by saying anything about it at all. But it puts this, I mean this, the whole, at least the whole thing about the demigods wanting this or that. Now you can't have everything. So at least choose something. What would you like? Money. Focus on money. Don't try and get all the other things also because you're too small. So whatever the specific interest you have is in this material world, focus on it by worshipping that particular demigod and just go for it. And the fact is you may get it. You may actually get it. That's the process. But there's a higher perspective, which is described particularly in verse 10, and as we said, we will not spoil the fun, but tune in a couple of days. Tune in to verse 10, because, wow, it's pretty amazing. Talking about people, well, actually all sorts of people, including these types of people, who really want material things. Even talking about those who are attracted to some form of impersonal goal. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Anyway, intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life by returning home back to Godhead. Any comments or questions?
Yes. Thank you for the class. I just want to ask, as like devotees, we personal this and we see Krishna as a person and everyone as a person.
Yes.
So we, with our philosophy and when we interact with others, like when we preach or associate with others, we try to help others to get that understanding as well. With our association. So I'm thinking like if we associate with like impersonalists or Mayavadi, then it depends how strong their consciousness, or let's say they're thinking that everything is one, and then that may like affect our consciousness. And so I'm just thinking that.
Well, therefore, you know, of course nowadays, at least in the Western world and to a very large degree in India, there are no real Mayavadis, like Shankarites. Even, you know, Shankaracharya, he lived whenever it was, 1200 years ago or so, he formed a Sampradaya. It exists. It exists very much. There are four places, headquarters of the Shankara Sampradaya today. What? Dwarka, Jagannath Puri, and a couple of others.
Varanasi.
Maybe, I don't know about Varanasi. But, what is it? Kanchi.
Sringeri,
maybe, yeah. And maybe Kanchi. So, these people, well, I think it's the one in Kanchi, when our Padyatra came around, many in the 80s actually, first time Padyatra went around India, the Jiya Swami, or whatever they call him, the Acharya, the Shankaracharya, he's called Shankaracharya, I think of Kanchi, down in that area, he became so inspired. Oh, he was just so happy. And he was just appreciating the devotees so much and publicizing and preaching it up. And it was clear he's not really a follower of Shankaracharya. Because the followers of Shankaracharya will think that the devotees are kind of deluded. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya meets Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati initially thinks Lord Chaitanya's gone a bit wacky because he's doing kirtan and, you know, spreading the holy names. And he told him, listen, you should come. You're a sannyasi. Do what sannyasis do. Come and sit with us and discuss impersonal philosophy. There's a long story. It's there in the seventh chapter of the Adi Lila. So it became quite clear that even this one of the four Shankaracharyas, heads of the Shankara Sampradaya, is not a classic Mayavadi. He's more like a Hindu, actually. More like a Hindu. He likes it all. It's all nice. Yeah. So, you know, your point was, so therefore, it's not very likely that you are going to really encounter a real Mayavadi, hardcore, who knows his stuff. You're going to come across people who are sort of like New Age Mayavadis. New Age Mayavadis. It means they're not really Mayavadis. Actually, it means they're just some variation of a Hindu, really. So, of course, we shouldn't listen to materialistic people anyway. Because, you know, we have the tendency towards material life. It may become stimulated. But in general, when we're dealing with non-devotees, like when we're preaching, distributing books, and meeting with people, we should try to... And of course, you have to be decent with them. You can't just sort of browbeat them and just hammer them over the heads. You know, there has to be some exchange to some degree. But we have to try and keep sort of keep in control of the conversation, if you follow what I mean. Don't just let the conversation go off, you know, particularly wherever the other person may want it to go off to. And if someone is just too determined to talk about, you know, whatever it may be, just materialism. You know, one of these things here was, if someone wants sex life, worship Indra. So if someone is just too much into, you know, because in New Age circles, sometimes the idea that sex is spiritual, it enhances your spirituality. Quite a big thing in a certain part of the New Age movement. And if someone's just, you know, determined on that point, and we haven't got the ability to sort of direct the conversation more constructively, better to just let them go. You know, rather than get exposed to strange ideas. Like even amongst devotees, even amongst Gaudiya Vaishnavas, you know, you get those called Ritviks. Yeah, if you listen, who feel that, you know, Prabhupada is the last guru, there are no other gurus since Prabhupada, we don't want to listen to them, because it's just a distorted idea. And therefore, you know, if we see this person as a determined Ritvik, just, oh, thank you, goodbye, see you later. When we were distributing books in England many years ago, if we would ever meet a born-again Christian, you know, yeah, I'd be bathed in the blood, real fired up. As soon as we understood this person is a determined born-again Christian, we had a program, we'd look at our watch and say, oh, it's late. Important appointment, I must go. And just go. Because, you know, you can't help these people. Maybe some super devotee might be able to help them, but your average devotee can't help them. In fact, it'll end up in a conflict situation, actually. And they'll become more antagonistic, and the devotee will become disturbed. And what's the value of that? And they're going to go away thinking worse about Krishna consciousness. What's the point? Yeah, see, the thing is, in association is two ways. Someone is giving, the other one is receiving. When we're preaching, of course we have to be decent. We can't just, you know, have a total monologue with the person. But we have our basic sort of mode of operation has to be giving and for them to receive. Yeah. But classic Mayavadis, real Mayavadis, Shankarites, Lord Chaitanya said, Mayavadi Bhasya Shunale Haya Sarva Nasha. Shunale, anyone who hears the Mayavadi Bhasya, real Mayavad philosophy, Haya Sarva Nasha, everything will be destroyed. It's an interesting point, you know, we don't want to go on too long, but that Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the guna avatar of tamagun, the mode of ignorance. Means he is empowered with the total potency of the mode of ignorance. And his philosophy of Mayavad is like the philosophical embodiment of total ignorance. Therefore, unless a devotee is completely transcendental, if the devotee is still somewhere in between and prone to become influenced under certain circumstances by Maya, and they hear real Mayavad, you know, like a real serious presentation, it's practically like they must fall down, because it's the total potency of the mode of ignorance. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes.
You mentioned hangover of being absorbed to aditi. I didn't get it at all. Can you repeat this?
Absorbed. Aditi. From the purport, I'm not sure which part of it all you're referring to.
You were talking about our spiritual identity. So I think he's asking how you become absorbed in the spiritual identity. Is that right?
Is it?
Yeah. Identity in you're not white, you're not...
Okay. Yeah, well, like you said, we don't know who we are specifically in the spiritual world, but at least we know, and we should really try to accept and really take it to heart, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. That's who I am. That's what I am. And therefore, what I should do is cultivate, develop a way of life based on that. Means thinking of Krishna, thinking of how to serve Krishna, thinking of myself, who am I? I'm a servant of Krishna. And then acting in service to Krishna and not getting off into materialistic, independent activity. Just engaged in devotional service. Is that okay? Yeah. Mataji.
I was just thinking in the purport Prabhupada mentions about Guru Ravana, because he worshipped Lakshmi. But it's interesting that in the Buddhist Brahmanis, Hiranyakashipu, they worship Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So I was thinking, you would think they would worship the same Lord Brahma.
Yes. Interesting. Ravana is less than Hiranyakashipu. He is diminished. You know, everything's diminished. His physical power, his intelligence. And generally people who are a little more intelligent may worship Lord Brahma. People who are less intelligent, they go for Lord Shiva very quickly because he's Ashutosh. But what's your point?
I was just thinking, you'd think that if you were a devotee of a particular demigod, you'd continue.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, just see. Material life is prone to instability.
Yeah, I think I've also heard that, if you worship a demigod, they're obliged to reciprocate with you. Is that true?
That's true. They're obliged. They have to. As long as you do the worship properly. If it's just, some concocted, half-hearted, they don't. They're not obliged and they don't do it. That's why, like in Hinduism now, the demigod worship, which is going on, but it's all just, so degraded. I mean, degraded in the sense, so unauthentic that the demigods, Prabhupada made the point, they would not come to this planet to urinate. It's just they won't touch anything to do with this planet. Because even the people who are sort of worshipping them, they're off the scale of real demigod worship. Therefore the demigods have rejected them. Yeah. Okay. Are we there? Mataji.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. When you were reading, you said that for tangible fame, we worship Krishna, the personality of God.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, why is Krishna, it seems like he's personally giving us benediction. So why?
Well, what do you think is tangible fame? It means real fame. In the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya asks Ramananda Roy, who is the most famous person? And Ramananda Roy replies that the devotee of Krishna is the most famous person. So mixed in amongst the demigod worship is this transcendental point that you really become a steadfast devotee, like Prabhupada, as a very good example. Such a steadfast devotee completely. And he became extremely famous. Became extremely famous. Even though he didn't try, even though, sort of the opposite, he always kept himself in the background. It was always the Hare Krishna movement, not the Bhaktivedanta Swami movement. Whereas with all due respect, the Satya Sai movement. It's all Satyasai, Satyasai. It's not what he represents. So that's the point. That the devotee becomes, means very advanced devotee, becomes famous by the grace of Krishna. How does that sound to you? Because devotee, you know, such a devotee means an empowered person. Empowered person, empowered by Krishna. It's not that Prabhupada, as an example, had some independent shakti and therefore became a sort of prominent world person just because he was well organized and clever. Prabhupada's like Shaktyavesh Avatar. Krishna's working through him so much and manifesting his Shakti through him so much. So in a sense you can say that Prabhupada was so famous because he was just reflecting Krishna. In other words, it was just Krishna really. But we still have to give credit to the devotee for being the devotee, because that's their, like, their independence, that I am a devotee and I'm serving as a devotee, and then Krishna acts through them. You follow the idea? It's Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. You know, Prabhupada was an old man, 70 when he started. He was a small man. He wasn't a big, powerful fellow. He spoke English, particularly initially. It wasn't a very good English by, you know, real English standards. So how did he do it? Because Krishna empowered him. So, you know, credit to Krishna. But because he was such a devotee, therefore Krishna empowered him, we must give the credit to Prabhupada for being such a devotee. And you can too. Seriously. Keep trying. Yeah. And you'll become empowered more and more. Last, but not least,
I just wanted to get more clarification about what you actually mentioned about Shiva. Because in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when Lord Chaitanya went to visit one of the Lord Shiva's temples, those actually like worshipping you, they are even like more dear to me than worshipping you directly. So my question is actually like, what is have to be our position as devotee of Lord Krishna to Lord Shiva?
You know, sometimes the Lord, in certain particular circumstances, may say something which he only says once. It's not like he's repeating every page of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be a devotee of Lord Shiva, first of all? First thing is, and Prabhupada talks about this, and it's a subtle point, but it's a very important point. There can be no such thing as a devotee of Lord Shiva or of any demigod, because devotee means devotion, means pure, means no material desire. So there are people who, you know, people are called all sorts of things, particularly nowadays. We've got incarnations of God here and there. people are called different things by stupid people. But a devotee of Lord Shiva, put it this way, for someone to really be a devotee of Lord Shiva, first of all, they must be a devotee of Krishna, because it's only possible to have pure devotion for Krishna, or at least Vishnu. It's only possible. Pure, unalloyed, totally selfless, just trying to please. So, but in their capacity as a devotee, as a Vaishnava, they may appreciate Lord Shiva also as a Vaishnava. Yeah. And you know, there's the famous story of Lord Ram worshipping Lord Shiva before going to Lanka. And some people think, just see, Lord Ram is admitting that Shiva is higher. Just see, we caught him out. But the Lord worships his devotee. And Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is a devotee, and actually is a very great devotee, to the point that sometimes, like there, he is described as being the greatest devotee. Actually, he's not. He's not. But still, he's a very great devotee. So, yeah, for Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, in person, propagating the Sankirtan movement, if he says something like that, he's not talking about your typical Shivite who's worshipping Lord Shiva to get some material thing. Not possible, because it's a nonsense. Yeah, it's a nonsense. Wanting material things and approaching a demigod for some material things. But someone who has some devotion, like real devotion, selfless devotion in love on the spiritual platform for Lord Shiva, means they're seeing him as a devotee. And they're appreciating how he's a devotee. And all the other stuff he does, like give people material things, they're overlooking it. Yeah, they're overlooking it. Because Lord Shiva, you know, he may give people, for example, a big house, but he doesn't even have a house. He lives under a tree. He may give people, you know, money or clothes, cars. He wears an animal skin, just one. Yeah. And he doesn't even have a car. He has Nandi the bull. Yeah. So he's a different type of person. He may give to, you know, like more genuine demigod worshippers who do it properly. He may give them fantastic things, actually. But he himself has no fantastic things. Nothing. He doesn't even have shoes. Yeah. So we should understand, you know, there's subtleties sometimes in some things. Yeah. And we have to be able to just see beneath the surface a little bit. And therefore we need help from others who know more. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Srila Prabhupada ki!
Respect Chaitanya Swami Maharaj.
Peace.